Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
All right, yeah, I guess just start out with the obvious. The last two games have obviously been great for the Rams, at least it looks that way from afar. What do you feel has contributed to the turnaround?
Well, I just think more than anything it's the players wanting to get the job done, and they've been practicing well, and they've been into it, and we just try to get them to understand that, that we're not one of the baddest team as everybody thought, and we just, you just got to try to do things right.
Did I read right, and was it correct that you sort of gathered not just the players but everyone in the organization as sort of that transition took place from Scott to yourself, and sort of talked a little bit, or is that true, and if it is, why did you do that?
I just thought that there was a separation in the building between football, business, management, and marketing, and as long as I'm here, I just thought that somehow you have to try to come together and be one. So I opened up practice, told those people to come out and practice, to eat with the players, just to do different things, because obviously if we win games, it helps all those people, and the more they can do to help us, it will be better. So it was just one of those deals. I want everybody to be positive and feel good about the team, and try to come to grips with that. We're 0-4, but we're going to fight and scratch and do whatever we got to do to try to win some games.
How much is the mindset of the team better, and how much does that correlate onto the field?
Well, they obviously winning a couple of games, you always have a better mindset than when you lose four in a row. So from that standpoint, it's a lot better. But I guess you got to talk to the players on this. I just think the mindset's obviously much better when you beat two teams like Washington and Dallas that guys are at least starting to feel good about themselves.
Was that daunting? I mean, you took over, you got the bye week to get everything straightened out, but you look at the schedule, you got Redskins, Cowboys, Patriots. I know you take it one at a time, but that's not easy to get your footing when you're facing a three-game stretch like that.
Yeah, and after that, it's not easy either, because we got Arizona, and then we go away versus New York and San Francisco. So besides playing good teams, we're playing a lot of them on the road. And, I don't really look at it that way. I just kind of look at it like, that you're playing one good football team and do whatever you can to just try to win that game and then go to the next one. And if you fail or you have some adversity, then you move on and just keep trying to plug away here.
How do you admire how the Patriots have always handled adversity?
Well, they've done a great job. Bill's one of the best coaches ever been in the game, and he does about as good a job as anybody doing that. You lose a quarterback, you plug in a guy that didn't play much in college, and you don't miss much. They're still 4-2. They got a great defense. He's lost numerous coaches over the years, players over the years, and they just keep having success. So he's probably the master at it.
What type of progress has Chris Long made, and how is he sort of being utilized?
Well, Chris has really kind of stepped forward the last couple games, and here's a guy that was a two-gapper in college, and has moved to an outside defensive end position. He's never played. He's moved farther away from the ball, but I think Chris gets better and better every week. I thought he had his best game last week. He didn't have sacks, but he had a bunch of quarterback hits. He's very active, and he's always going to be very active because that's the kind of guy he is. But I think every day he's out on the field, he gets better and better.
Was the move back to Mark Bulger a no-brainer?
Well, to me it was, but everybody looks at it different. The thing I like about Mark right now is I see great ownership in his team. Guy's really taken the leadership role. He's talked to the team. He runs the sideline. He handles the offense. And when I took over, I told him, when you became the quarterback, you had Marshall Faulk, you had Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce on the line that's been together for 5 years, so you were the youngster. Now it's kind of flipped. You're the old guy, and you got a bunch of young kids around you and a line that hasn't played together for that long, so you need to step up and be that guy. And I thought he's done a great job.
Do you believe in momentum? I mean, does beating Washington and Dallas help you in any tangible way preparing for this week?
You know, know, I don't know. I think it helps. It sure doesn't hurt. But, you know, to go up there is a great challenge. You're talking about going up to a, you know, to a place that's a hostile environment and the weather conditions and playing a team that's got, you know, a ton of Super Bowls and a great coach. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us, and hopefully we can just go out there and play as well as we can.
How's it, am I pronouncing it right, Otagwe?
Yeah, OJ.
I mean, he seems to have a pretty good nose for the ball. Can you explain that?
He's got a great nose for the ball. Yeah, he's a guy that when we got here, he wasn't playing much, and we just kind of stuck him in there, and, you know, based off what we saw in college. And besides having a great nose for the ball, he's an excellent tackler. He's a guy that's always trying to get the ball out. He's extremely fast. He's extremely smart. He's a great kid. And I was disappointed he didn't make the Pro Bowl last year with his 8 interceptions. And, you know, I don't see why he wouldn't make it this year, because the guy is one of the best safeties in the league.
I know you don't have to make the decision now, but Jackson and Pace, physically, you still think they're on target to
play? Pace will play this week. Jackson will be day-to-day. I'm not really sure what he'll do when it comes to Sunday. We'll you know, he didn't do anything today. He'll start working a little bit tomorrow. We'll see where he's at.
Jim, I believe they looked at you to be before you took the Saints job in 2000. Do you remember the process you went through here? You know, when Bill was ultimately picked as the coach.
Do I remember the process that in New England?
Yeah.
Was that the question?
Yeah. Back when they looked at you to be head coach in 2000. I know you hadn't been one before.
Yeah, well, I remember when I went through the process, but
that's what I'm saying.
I'm not really sure of the question.
Well, the process you went, I mean, can you recall, I know you were named the coach of the Saints, that you became the coach of the Saints, but do you remember going through that, you know, coming up here and interviewing and the rest of it?
Well, I didn't come up to New England to interview. I think Bill had that job before that. I was with the Steelers then. I interviewed at, I can't remember where I interviewed then, but it was like Philadelphia, Seattle, and I think Chicago was the other one.
What's your thought? I mean, I know it's sort of old now, but when the Dolphins came in here in week 3 with that Wildcat stuff, I mean, what's your thought on that, and have you guys tried that at all?
Well, we don't have anybody who can do that, to be honest with you. You know, Ronnie Brown is a guy that can really throw the ball, and he can run that offense. They got a coach on their staff, David Lee, who was the offensive coordinator at Arkansas. So it's easier to implement. When we can tell those guys we're not going to run that stuff, because we really don't have guys that can do that. But they did a nice job. We watched the game. They did a nice job with it. But I think it just caught New England by surprise more than anything.
Jim, how did going through 2005 with the Saints and being displaced by Katrina, you know, help you as a coach or deal with adversity that you face now? Or
this is easy compared to that. You know, taking over a team that was 0-4 is a lot easier than the things we went through then. Yeah, I don't have enough time on the radio right now, or on the telephone to describe what I went through. You know, with the players and the hurricane and the loss of families and lives and homes. So, but it was something you hope no one ever has to go through again. I can promise you that.
What were your impressions of the way the Patriots dispatched the Broncos on Monday night?
Well, I couldn't sleep. I watched it on TV. I was, you know, just the way they played up front, and, you know, the way Sammy ran the ball, and I thought the quarterback was poised and did a nice job on the offensive side. And on defense, you know, they got big plays and turnovers, and they've always had, you know, Brad Sealy's one of the better coaches in the league, and he's always had good special teams. So, you know, it was hard to sleep that night, but you know what, this would be a great challenge for us. You know, we've done a good job the last 2 weeks, but to go up there and to play this team and to those conditions, it'd be a great challenge for us.
Sort of a just general philosophy question. I'm curious if you have any philosophy, Jim, on deferring or accepting, you know, the ball at the start of the game. That's a new rule this year, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. Last week we deferred because the quarterback wanted to defer, so I'm not really hung up on either way, one way or another. But I talked to Mark before the game. He wanted to come out in the second half and have the ball, and that's why we deferred it.
Sure. Jim, how different is it going into being taking over a team in the middle of the year the way you have this year? I know you're one of a couple of guys who's doing it versus when you first got your first head coaching job in New Orleans, and how's the challenge different?
Well, obviously, it's a lot of challenge because I don't have enough time to change everything that you want to change as a head coach. You know, you come in the middle of the season and take over a team that's already here, players are already in place, their values, everything that you do, the practice schedule, everything is already in place. So you don't want to differ too much, and you're not going to change players. So you kind of roll with what you have and try to make it better. But like I said, I don't know if it'll be good enough for me to keep the job. I will say we'll practice harder, we'll play harder, we'll be better on the field, we'll be good enough. I don't know. Down there we had a little bit more time to turn it around.
Jim, could you tell us what Mike Vrabel was like in Pittsburgh?
Well, Mike's a guy that kind of got stuck in the numbers when I was at Pittsburgh. We had a bunch of great linebackers, and I just tried to find ways to get Mike on the field. We had Carlos Simmons and Joey Porter I can't remember everybody we had. We had endless amount of linebackers. So Mike was kind of like our third, fourth outside linebacker. I played him in inside tackle and third down, outside defensive end. We kind of moved him around just because he's such a good athlete. But obviously that was a great pickup for them, and he's been really successful. And I'm glad for him. He's a great kid and a heck of a football player.
Did you see pass rushing, greatness in him right away?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll never forget. We actually played New England in a playoff game, and he got a sack at the end of the game to win the game. I think it was 9-3. We won the game, and we went on to the AFC Championship game because of that play.
All right, that's great, Jim. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you.